RadioSaintPete.com.
RadioSaintPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell reviews Steve Jobs, now playing in area theaters.
The feeling is very rare. When it comes along, I hope you're smart enough to sit back and realize what's happening before the credits roll and the lights come back on. Every now and again, perhaps a handful of times a year, I realize I am sitting through an absolute masterpiece. It's all working. The actors reach an unknown plane. The writer prepared whip-smart dialogue. The director brings us up and drops us down. And the score reminds me to put it on replay during my daily commute. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Jobs is that good. Phenomenal and fantastic sound mundane when asked how it was. It is pure cinema. This is why I go to the movies. I've always admired Aaron Sorkin. I envy any person with the talent to write at that level. Whatever the story, two Marines accused of murder and a few good men, TV shows about sporting news or the West Wing, and even a movie about baseball sabermetrics, the man habitually nails us to our seats with his words. Steve Jobs is his best yet. That is not a platitude. Ranking all of his work, this Steve Jobs adapted screenplay is Sorkin's greatest achievement to date. Based on Walter Isaacson's book about the eponymous anti-hero, Sorkin, in a brilliant move, transformed the book into a three-act play. There is no Steve Jobs was born here, did this, or did that by the numbers formula. Sorkin broke the movie into three separate pieces, all launches of his most well-known products. All of the characters are real, but these conversations most likely never took place, and they certainly did not occur just prior to gargantuan press spectacles such as a product launch. We meet the same recurring characters in each act, and Jobs, played by Michael Fassbender, has it out with each and every one of them consistently. It's not that Jobs worked with awful people, endured corrupt bosses, and maintained a family who hated him. Jobs is his own worst enemy. He pushes, he pokes, he screams, he rants, and he makes people better. Act 1 is set in the Flint Auditorium at Deonsa Community College in Cupertino, California. This is the exact place in 1984 where Jobs and Apple launched the Macintosh. The stage in the film is the actual stage the real-life Jobs presented on. Each act is roughly 40 minutes long, and it is a breakneck, you better keep up, spewing volcano of words. Jobs threatens a computer engineer, Andy Hertzfeld, played by Michael Stuhlbarg, that he better make the Macintosh say hello to the audience or he will ruin his life. None of us doubt for a second he means it. Steve Wozniak, played by Seth Rogen, the brains behind the Apple II, shows up to lend his support to Jobs and asks kindly for him to recognize the old Apple II team of engineers, a kindly gesture Jobs would never acquiesce to. Jobs' boss and Apple CEO, John Sculley, played by Jeff Daniels, reassures Steve, but also more than gently reminds him of his obligations to the shareholders. Lurking back in his dressing room are Jobs' ex-girlfriend, Chrisanne Brennan, played by Catherine Waterston, and his four-year-old daughter, Lisa, whom he just told the entire world through Time magazine that he could not be the father of, going so far as labeling Chrisanne a wanton woman in so many words. Corralling all of these braying donkeys is Jobs' marketing director, Joanna Hoffman, played by Kate Winslet. Hoffman only gets a few pages in Isaacson's book, but Sorkin makes her a leading character that is the only person on Earth able to stand up and fight back at Jobs' relentless attacks, even if her faint Polish accent curiously fades in and out. Act 2 jumps forward 4 years to 1988 and the launch of the next computer. There is no shame if you either don't remember it or have never heard of it. Known only to Jobs, Next was meant to be the failure it was. But it served its purpose, revenge. Act 2 is a mini-revenge play within the whole. After the Macintosh imploded, Jobs left Apple under murky circumstances. Filmed in the San Francisco Opera House, there could be no more appropriate setting for Jobs' revenge scheme. John Sculley shows up to point out it was Jobs' own fault he was booted out of Apple, but Jobs is having none of that truth-telling. At the end of their scene, Sculley is drenched in sweat, knowing full well Jobs will have the last laugh. Wozniak, Hertzfeld, Chrisanne, and Lisa all show up again, and while each have their go at Steve, Rogan's Wozniak takes the blue ribbon this time. He asks the question all of us want to ask, what the hell does Jobs do anyway? He doesn't code, he's not an engineer, he has no idea how to make the things he wants made. What does he do? Standing in the orchestra pit, Jobs' response is a bit too overt for the setting, but of course it works. Sorkin makes it work. Act 3 jumps ahead 10 years to the 1998 iMac launch, with Jobs back at Apple about to take over the world. Lisa is now a freshman at Harvard, a situation Jobs handles with all the grace of a bowling ball bouncing down the stairs. John Sculley and Wozniak return ready to have a last run at the world's strongest ego, but it's Stuhlbarg as Hertzfeld, who walks away with the most effective scene, because rather than join the spitfire dialogue game everyone else plays, he slows down and takes a breath before he speaks. Weaving in and around all the chaos is Daniel Pemberton's virtuoso score. Mostly synths and plucky keyboards, the music connotes the edge of technology, the promise of the future, and even heavy-handed operatic tones during Act 2. Director Danny Boyle expertly piles scenes with layer upon layer of drama and crises before he finally lets Jobs go out there on the stage and introduce the world to the next gizmo that may or may not revolutionize it. We never see the actual launches, though. That is not the movie. We're not here for the gadgets. We're here to see a man who had a vision farther and clearer than any of us will ever have. Sorkin, Boyle, and Fassbender combine to create a Shakespearean aura around Steve Jobs. I rave about this film because this level of aptitude and effort is not released onto a screen every Friday. We're lucky if we get this a couple times a year. Grab onto it while you can. That is why I give Steve Jobs 4 out of 4 stars.
Steve Jobs is rated R, now playing at Regal Park Place Stadium 16, Largo Mall 8, Movigo Sundial 19, and Cobb Countryside 12 Cinemas. RadioSt.Pete.com film critic Charlie Jewell is a member of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association. To read more of Charlie's reviews online, visit charliejewell.com.